We will call the Health and Human Services Division back to order. We have Senate File 1484 still before us. And, you know, we weren't able to get to some of the opposition testimony in the morning session. And I know that there's some doctors here that really need to leave and get back to practice. And out of respect for that, I think it would be good to allow them to testify if you feel you're ready. And welcome to the committee. Come on up to the
young guy. Shot him with
witness table.
I shot him with a BB gun.
Dr. Grindall, welcome.
No, Mr. Chair, Ted Grindall representing the Minnesota Radiological Society. So you sit right here.
Hi.
How are you?
Tell me what to do.
So introduce yourself and where you work.
Okay. Welcome to the committee. State your name for the record. And
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Dr. Kurt Schellis, MD. I'm an interventional neuroradiologist practicing here in the Twin Cities. I'm National Medical Director of Medical Scanning Consultants, PA, which is a five-state radiology group, also with some physiatrists that practices around the region, specializing in neuroimaging, spine imaging, and spine intervention. I would like to talk briefly about some of the perspectives I have as somebody who's been doing this now for almost 28 years on a full-time basis. First of all, with regard to access in the rural part of the state, it is my opinion and those of all my colleagues, those of us who are active in this area of practice, that it makes much more sense for a patient to get in a car and drive up to 60 minutes to a center to see somebody who is thoroughly trained and experienced in the diagnosis, treatment planning, analysis, and then determination of whether or not injections are even appropriate or necessary, and then performance of such, if so, as opposed to lowering the standards so that they can drive down the block to have something done that may be totally unnecessary at greater risk in their own community. With regard to the statement that I've heard that because CRNAs are performing epidural anesthesia, that they're already doing epidural steroid injections or epidural injections. I would like to state that there is a radical difference, and I mean radical, between the performance of epidural anesthesia and image-guided therapeutic epidural steroid injections. Epidural steroid injections are done with image guidance, which requires sophistication, training, knowledge, and training in radiation safety, also ability to interpret sophisticated imaging studies, and then to recognize if things are not perfect, because there is potential to do significant harm, create lifetime disability, pain, even paraplegia or quadriplegia if injections are misdirected or into a wrong place. Whereas with epidural anesthesia, there's temporary numbness, or there could even be possibly some more complications, but they're all short-term and reversible. With these steroid injections, they may be irreversible. Also, with regard to the whole area of practicing pain management, as a medical doctor who went to 4 years of medical school, 4 years of residency and then 1 year fellowship and have been practicing 33 years, I can state that there is a great deal of knowledge and experience that goes into evaluating a patient suffering pain to determine whether or not their pain is of spinal origin, what spinal structure, what spinal segment it might be, versus may it not even be spinal. And then analyzing the whole situation with regard to their entire medical history and medical situation, determining a treatment plan, is other specialty consultation indicated or necessary? And then if injections might be done, what injections might be appropriate or necessary? And then it comes to the performance of such, which takes enormous skill and knowledge and experience to do them well. To do this very badly and dangerously is no problem. But to do it very well, reproducibly, and safely requires an enormous background and skill level. So those are the main things I wanted to stress. I mean, this, to me, the proposal would create an avenue whereby people with no medical formal training or background or certification can practice medicine, because as written, really top to bottom, it allows people to evaluate a patient front end or take a patient in, see them, evaluate them, determine what may or may not be necessary, and then perform procedures on that patient, be they necessary or not, appropriate or not. This would create not only much greater risk, but also the possibility of dramatically increased inappropriate utilization, whereby at this time we're trying to dramatically control inappropriate utilization and keep things to a minimum, though, so that only what is absolutely necessary is done, necessary and safe. So thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, committee members.
Dr. Chellis, thank you for coming and sharing your testimony. Are there questions? Senator Franzen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Dr. Chellis, we are considering adopting this language. It's comprehensive. We're also considering whether to keep current language as it relates to intervention pain management. In your opinion, would that be a good idea? What does that mean to keep status quo versus having some more guardrails with regard to this practice?
Dr. Shelley.
Okay, Mr. Chairman and committee members, very good question. It is my opinion, and those of us very involved in this field on the medical side, that the comprehensive evaluation of patients and performance of pain management planning and intervention, or the actual performance of procedures, is far beyond the scope of what is being proposed right now and what is written. So I would recommend that it not be carried forward as written. It'd be dramatically curtailed.
Dr. Shellis, I think one of the questions is, there's a lot of opposition to the bill as a whole. And if we were to defeat this bill and leave the status quo, are you left with issues? Are you uncomfortable with where the practice of APRNs is today?
No, I am not. I have very, very high regard for APRNs, and it's just a matter of, this would be a dramatic expansion of duties, and it would far exceed what their formal training is, compared to what I've gone through, for instance. I'm not saying that I've suffered at all. It's been a long, long journey, which has imparted me with a great deal of knowledge and experience. And all the people that are very involved in this area of practice, be they radiologists, physiatrists, anesthesiologists, all have a four-year background in basic medical education, and then an internship year, and then a three- or more-year residency program. On top, which is an enormous background. It's not just simply a matter of being able to stick a needle somewhere. It's way beyond that. There's immense potential to inflict harm and irreversible damage with inadequate knowledge and experience.
Thank you. Any further questions? Senator Kiffmeyer, and actually, there's an amendment that's going to be coming procedurally. Maybe, Senator Sharon, you could withdraw your 822 amendment. I think that's...
Make the motion to withdraw the A-22 amendment.
Senator Sharon withdraws the A-22 amendment. And procedurally, the next thing that's going to be happening is an amendment will be offered soon. We'll pass that out now so that people can begin reading it and make sure that there's a little bit of time to absorb it. But Senator Kiffmeyer, a question for this testifier?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chairman. So, Dr. Chellis, thank you for your work. Greatly appreciated, very knowledgeable and experienced, and glad to, and appreciate your good work. Your testimony, though, was in regard specifically not to it sounded like your remarks had more to do with the interventional pain management piece of the bill. Is that correct?
Yes. Also, Mr. Chairman and committee members, thank you. Good question. My concern is with regard to the fact that the bill, as was presented to me, would create the avenue whereby the full range of medical practice could be opened to these practitioners, and I feel that is not appropriate. So I feel that the full spectrum of the interventional procedures is way beyond what should be permitted. as well as the ability to evaluate patients primarily and determine treatment plans.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to be sure that our nurse midwives and clinicians and practitioners were clarified in regards to the testifier. Thank you.
Another note on procedure. There was Senator Sharon's 822 amendment before us. Senator Franzen had offered the 823 amendment to that amendment, but it's still Senator Sharon's amendment, and so withdrawing the 822 removed the 823 with it. If any member opposed to not having that before us, they could offer that 822 again and the 823 on it. But procedurally, that's what just happened for anyone who was wondering, because we had two prior amendments. But we have another amendment, and, you know, stick around. Is there more questions for these testifiers?
Well, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Franzen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, it's unfortunate that I like to talk more about pain management first before we move to three issues that we're going to take up with the next amendment, because the testifier would actually be a value for that discussion.
Has to leave
to go practice. So, you know, if Senator Sharon is okay, I'm willing to offer my amendment and have the discussion, so then we have that on record, and if necessary, withdraw the amendment. But I think it's a valuable discussion to have.
You know, I think we tried all morning to get to the pain management conversation. I think that's fair, given that members that are going to have to leave are not going to be here for that portion of the conversation. So, Senator Franzen, you have an amendment?
I offer the A-15.
Senator Franzen offers the A-15 amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Senator Franzen's A-23 is no more withdrawn. It's never, okay.
Right. Because it was an amendment
on top of that, yep.
To the A-22.
Senator Laurie.
Senator Sharon.
There are two others that were wanting to testify when you were called for.
Yes.
To testify. Do you want to do that?
We've already heard from one.
Well, I think it's probably on this pain management issue, so maybe we can have Senator Franzen explain her amendment and then start with these testifiers, if
Mr.
that
Chair.
Works, I think. Senator Hayden.
So I'm starting to get confused again. I'm sorry. It's getting late. So I guess for the rules of engagement about this process, I want to make sure that, A, we are hearing, you know, kind of people who are for or against, depending upon what we're talking about. I'd also want to just say, Ms. Chair, and this is your committee, that it's been a long time, and I would hope that we would have new testimony that would be offered and that we wouldn't reiterate testimony that we've heard before on either side. So if we could figure that out. Then the last thing that I would say is that I know we're going a little out of context to some extent, but I want to be able to know that there was some talk about there being Senator Franzen's amendment, which is going to do what it wants to do, and I'll let her explain it, and other amendments that may keep the status quo or others. I just want to make sure that as we're thinking about this, we're not thinking about this now in the original bill. We have now kind of, this bill is something totally different, and I just want to make sure members of the committee understand that they're going to be potentially having to make a decision on Senator Franzen's amendment, depending on where she wants to go, also in the context of another amendment that may keep the status quo. You know, I just think that we're in our attempt to accommodate one schedule, which I absolutely 100% appreciate all the practitioners that are here, but there is only a certain amount of accommodations that you can make in order for us to be able to get our work done. And if we could, and though I think we should talk about pain, but if we continue to do it in this way, I'm afraid that I won't know the decisions that I'm making as a whole package.
So Senator Franzen has offered the A-15 amendment. We have it before us. I don't think it's any secret to anyone in the room here that there's another alternative being considered for the interventional pain management issue. We had a great deal of discussion around the other three issues that seemed more manageable, though we weren't able to complete them either this morning, but they are an amendment that was shared just in order to be give people a little bit of additional time to absorb it. That would be the A27 amendment that is not before us currently, but that would be the other three issues, the postgraduate clinical experience, the high-tech scans, and the advisory board under the Board of Nursing. But I think that we will hopefully have a good discussion about interventional pain management and its interactions with the whole bill, and keep all members in mind that the A15 amendment that I'm just seeing for the first time as well, there are other options that may be before us before we complete here. So on the A15 amendment, Senator Franzen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And frankly, this morning we spent a lot of time talking about the rest of the bill, and this was the crux, and this is the issue where we have the most controversy, I would say. Certainly, I think the other three issues are important that we talked about this morning, but I think we found peace in the valley on that. So I'd rather spend our time in this issue because we're going to have a couple of amendments that are going to go different directions. And unfortunately, my testifier had to leave, so that was my intent of having this amendment and this discussion, so he would be able to answer some of my questions. But I think we have a couple other testifiers that can really explain the A15 in terms of what it does, but I'll give you a gist of it. Basically, it does set some guardrails on what can be done with regard to pain management. So we have basically, we're talking about this is not a scope of practice bill, but it is, and I'll be honest, I was endorsed by the nurses union, so this is not against the nurses union. I just have as a consumer, as a patient, I want to make sure that we're doing the best policy moving forward, and this is an area that I just have a lot of concern. So I think this amendment would really narrow what we're trying to accomplish. If we're going to expand the scope or not have an agreement with doctors and physicians to practice, and we're going to give more independence to nurses, which I totally support, and for many arguments, on this particular area, we need to find some guardrails. And I think Senator Rosen will be introducing her own amendment to keep the status quo. So we're going to have to really make a decision of which way we're going to go. I would like the testifiers to really go to the explain what it is to do intervention pain management in more detail. This amendment has a list of procedures that could be done acceptable by CRNAs, and it limits it to that, and they're currently being done, is my understanding. So it doesn't change what's currently happening. It just, in addition, would have some guardrails of things that we have concerns that could potentially be practiced or procedures that could be performed if we don't have this language in statute. If we leave the status quo, these procedures can be done by someone other than a physician, and I don't think that's the right policy decision. I really wish we had tackled this in the policy committee, not here, because these are huge policy implications. And for that, they're technical procedures, but they list we have a list of procedures that would be allowed to continue to go on, and that's the lumbar injections and so forth that you see on the amendment. And I would like to open it up for the testifiers to talk a little bit more about why this is needed, why the guardrails are needed. Instead of just keeping the current law as it is, where it's open to interpretation and to self-policing what an APRN could do or CRNA can do. I just have issue with this particular part of the bill, and I think we should devote most of our time here because the other three issues, I think we found peace in the valley, and we can certainly go through them.
Hello, I'm Dr. Andrew Will, and I'm accompanied by Dr. Sherry Haas, another interventional pain medicine physician. In response to that question about are we okay with the status quo, as I reported this morning, to my knowledge, only 4 out of 1,500 CRNAs are actually performing some interventional pain management, and of the ones that are doing it, I believe it is basically the beginning epidural steroid injections, you might call. But if the way they're viewing the status quo right now is that they're free to expand on that and perform all of the other procedures that we're not even talking about right now in interventional pain management, of which there are many, and many new ones are being developed all the time, then there is a concern. Maybe we do need to define this. We do wish to define this as the practice of medicine. And certainly all these procedures that are on the first side of the amendment here, we reviewed as the practice of medicine. On the second side, we did point out that the interlaminar lumbar steroid injection would be something that we could agree on. And we need to, from my viewpoint, and I think from the Minnesota Society of Interventional Pain Physicians, we need to describe what a CRNA could do, not what they can't do, because there are procedures being developed all the time. Currently, I'm working with a procedure, a company here in Twin Cities is developing a procedure that would involve drilling out part of a joint of the low back. Now, once that procedure becomes available, since that's not on their list, does that mean they can perform it? I think the better way to go about this is to say what they can do, not what they can't do. And we're offering this idea that an interlaminar epidural steroid injection in the lumbar spine in a hospital when ordered by a physician would be okay. Even that, I must say, is a huge consensus, but I think it would allow some of the CRNAs, the few that are doing this, to continue doing what they are.
Senator Hayden?
Good. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and Dr. Wells. I appreciate what you're saying, and I think that that gets us in the gray area of, you know, kind of what could happen, maybe, depending. You know, I guess where I'm a little concerned in your objection to the status quo, at least as some sort of compromise to continue to talk, is that I didn't see your organization, and I could be wrong, or others that concerned about this bring legislation forward to say, here's what we're concerned about, and we think that there's a potential proliferation of people doing things that they shouldn't. So maybe I shouldn't. So I want to say this respectfully. I didn't see it. So if you had, I'd like to know about it. Otherwise, I think that we are starting to get into a process that could take us a long time to start thinking about all the things that are happening that could be happening, and should we try to police all of those issues. So I know I'm not being as articulate this evening as I'd like, but I guess the question would be, did you bring legislation that would, that based on your concerns of what the status quo is today?
Dr. Will?
This is the amendment that Senator Franzen is introducing is what we would be interested in supporting. As we were talking this morning, both sides agreed there's this GAO report that said of all the interventional pain management done in this country, 99.6% of the time is performed by physicians. I guess if that was the status quo that was going to continue, I would not be uncomfortable. But the idea that that could change radically, that is what makes us uncomfortable. And that we think that this amendment addresses that concern.
But, Dr. Will, I think it addresses the concern in the context of the the fear of the bill that was proposed and the expansion, as it were, that's represented in the bill, as from your viewpoint. And I don't want to wade too deep into those waters. That gets us down a slippery slope. But, you know, again, coming back to it seemed to most of us here that there was great opposition to this bill as it was proposed, and there wasn't another proposal to restrict the practice of APRNs. None of us saw that. And, you know, this came as an idea to – one of the problems is interventional pain management became one of the focal points and one of the issues that became of great concern for many of the reasons that you're mentioning. The APRN coalition kind of recognized, okay, maybe we should respond to that, take a look. They came with a list of a handful of procedures they said they wouldn't do. The doctor side of the house said, okay, well, we're going to put it in the practice of the definition of the practice of medicine, and thereby, you know, carving it all out and saying, well, what happens today could happen under the direction of a doctor. You know, broadly speaking, that's what we kind of see happening. And I think we're not scientists. It's hard for us to make these determinations and weigh this very well, especially at this late hour. And I think all of us were uncomfortable with both sides, really. And it comes to this definition of interventional pain management, and I don't, you know, I don't think there's a great deal of comfort on either side that either one of these is the perfect solution to what we have before us today. And if there wasn't a big push to change, you know, the CRNA is the only one of the four practices of APRNs that goes into this interventional pain management portion of practice. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Senator Rosen, you had, or am I?
No.
Although that has not always been the case. They have changed their legislation proposals along the way. In the beginning, it did involve advanced practice registered nurses. So since then, we have the legislation that was proposed hasn't been changed. It's just the CRNAs. So I think we have made some discussion along the way.
Oh, I'm not saying that there hasn't been any concessions. That's also, you know, waters I don't care to wade into this evening. But Senator Rosen, you had.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And, yeah, there's obviously I do have an amendment to that in reference to the status quo. But I think my question is to Senator Sharon. Senator Sharon, isn't the Board of Nursing, don't they oversee and discipline anyone who practices outside of their scope of practice? I mean, isn't there a boundaries and a stopgap already in place?
Senator Sharon.
Yes, and there have not been any complaints to the Board of Nursing, which would be appropriate if there was an indication that a person was incompetently practicing or practicing outside of the scope.
You know, Dr. Haas, I think you've been ready to say something for a while. I think we kind of took the microphone away from you. Did you have comments you wish to share?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Senators.
Please say your name for the record.
Yes, my name is Dr. Sherry Haas, D.O. I'm a new scientist, so to speak, so I still can relate to not having that kind of scientific background. And I guess I could explain a little bit of what our patients are very complex patients. These are chronic pain patients who get passed around who have seen a lot of different providers, and they really deserve to have evidence-based medicine, which means, you know, what's going to give them the best patient outcomes. And for an interventional pain provider, they should have a knowledge of the multidisciplinary approach so they know how to guide the patient, how to diagnose, how to lead them to the next appropriate step for the best patient outcomes. And I guess that's the point that I wanted to make, is that the patients are very complex. They've got psychosocial issues. You know, a lot of times they've got multiple surgeries. These kind of things need to be taken into consideration by the interventionalist. And it's only through years of training that you develop a knowledge of all those different multidisciplines that the patient should be offered by the interventionalist.
Thank you, Dr.
I don't know if that's a new perspective or not. I unfortunately wasn't able to be here all day because I was at work. But
it's okay.
Senator Kiffmeyer, did you have – that was just – okay.
No, I'm just commenting that she wasn't here all day.
Senator.
We're glad you were otherwise occupied doing good things.
So on the A15 amendment that is before us, Senator Franzen, what's your wishes?
Some of the members have more questions, Mr. Chair. I'd like to offer, I think it's more than the status quo. We're going to, I mean, if it doesn't pass, then Senator Rosen can move forward her amendment, which I haven't seen. And what I've seen doesn't accomplish what I thought it was going to do, so I feel uncomfortable not moving this for a vote. So I would still offer it and ask for a roll call.
Senator Benson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I like the approach of Senator Franzen's amendment. I probably won't support it because I'm trying to get to a place where we can have some consensus on this committee, but it is so much better. Instead of listing the things you're not allowed to do, the bill right now lists what you're not allowed to do, and as soon as there's new innovation, we have to come back and add things that you're not allowed to do, And that means this legislature continually has to be aware of things that you're not allowed to do. Instead of the approach taken here, which is a general description of the practice of medicine, I am not prepared at this point to say if this is the right description of the practice of medicine, but deleting, starting with 84.23, getting rid of this very prescriptive negative language is essential if this bill is going to be good legislation or effective legislation.
Senator Franzen?
Mr. Chair, and what I would respond, Senator Benson, is if we leave it status quo, we're going to have to come back to it anyway because we've already heard of all the concerns that we have with potential not having the training necessary, not having the oversight necessary in this particular piece. Again, the other part of the bill where we're eliminating the agreement with physicians, all of that is fine. I mean, it's expanding the scope. You can call it something else, but in my view, it's if you're changing, making, removing barriers like we're describing this bill, it's expanding the scope. And that is to deal with everything we talked about this morning. And I'm fine with that. I just think in this particular segment, leaving it as status quo, we're going to have to come back next year to fix it. So at least we have something here that protects a patient, a consumer, and that allows us to really think through what needs to be modified versus keeping it open and having potential crisis or potential risks with patients that might not be able to self-police because that's what they're doing right now. They're self-policing. We're not giving them the guardrails of what they're trained to do under current law. So this would buy us some time and limit any damage, in my opinion.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Friend, what damage are we trying to fix? I mean, I'm very confused about what needs to be done here because obviously status quo, it has been working. I mean, I don't understand why we can't go back to what's working because if we limit their scope of practice, you are going to have a deficit in Greater Minnesota. And obviously, the map that you passed out shows great deficits out in Greater Minnesota. Absolutely. And I think going 60 miles is not reasonable for pain management. That is not acceptable. And so I just like to know what's wrong with status quo.
Mr. Chair and Senator
Rosen. Senator Franz.
Part of what I've been hearing in the last several weeks from all the influx of emails I'm getting on this, status quo is a problem, and they're not only in the part of the training side where it's a new trend that CRNAs are doing this, but it's not regulated. Right now it's happening, and it's going to continue to grow, but we're not regulating. So I have concerns of we've heard cases in other parts of the country where there's been deaths because they're performing these heavily specialized subspecialty of medicine, which we heard this morning, by a different training. We're talking about two different things. Having the nurses be able to perform what they need to do in rural Minnesota, I am completely 100% behind you. That's why I think most of this bill is good. The problem of the 5% is what I'm trying to talk about right here, that we need to really tailor it because I don't believe, I don't really believe there is a deficit, not only from the map, but, when you're talking about an epidural for someone who's pregnant, that's a different story than someone who can wait for that procedure, which is an elective procedure that they can drive to receive specialized care. I'm not convinced that we have that specialized care right now and that we need to make sure that we are able to keep a close eye on that. I don't think keeping it the way it is good public policy because we are already witnessing some problems there. From the testimony, so.
Mr. Chair, I would appreciate a response from the author of the bill, please, Senator Sharon, on this, because, and I would appreciate her response on the A-15 amendment.
Senator Sharon.
Could I have some other people come up, please? Thank you.
Senator Sharon.
I have others, I think, that can really respond to what I think have been a significant number of inaccuracies about statements that nurses are not adequately prepared.
There's a significant number. Maybe you could focus on the
top three. I just don't know where to begin, but I just would remind everybody that the Board of Nursing regulates the advanced practice nurse, that they are standardizing practice. They're requiring national accreditation, that it is through this process, as is true in the Board of Medical Practices, that we make certain that people who perform within their scope of practice are adequately prepared to do the functions that they're doing, and that they cannot expand or do anything more than they're absolutely prepared for from their educational experience. And, I am highly respectful of these highly qualified and trained interventional pain physicians, but we know that in healthcare delivery that there's I remember back when we were working in the area of chemical dependency, there was always the challenge about whether or not you needed the highest prepared psychologist or psychiatrist to serve people who have chemical dependency problems. And, we can't continue to use the most cardiac surgeon to assess situations that don't require that kind of expertise. So we're not talking about having advanced practice nurses be specialists or specialized, but to work within a certain narrow scope of practice, that the Board of Nursing determines whether or not the educational background and training and certification process is adequate to assure the public safety. And they also discipline in nurses who attempt to do things that are beyond that scope of practice or beyond their training. The concept of nurses not being engaged in a understanding the multiple complexities of a human person, social issues, behavioral issues, emotional, spiritual, as well as physical issues, is really hard for me to listen to, because it is the essence of the nursing's education is holistic healthcare, and has been since the beginning of time. And that concept is fairly new in the discussion of healthcare delivery services, because people believe a holistic healthcare in the long term will create less costly chronic disease management disease management has traditionally been the work of the medical profession.
Okay, on the A15 amendment before.
Well, so I'm just responding to a lot of things that really.
And then we have Senator Kiffmeyer and Senator Benson who wish to speak on the A15 amendment, and we're.
So I'm opposed to the is it the A15 amendment?
Yes.
The A15 amendment on multiple levels, including that even if you get to the place where you should define this as the practice of medicine exclusively, rather than. That these procedures can be the practice of multiple professions who have the appropriate training, that what is defined in the last paragraph is something that nothing in the sections construed to prohibit is too narrow a description. It restricts, is too restrictive for the practice of APRNs as it is now. So we're moving with this amendment, we're moving from us talking about moving barriers to increasing barriers to the practice of advanced practice CRNAs. And so I would encourage the committee to oppose this. I'm not opposed to if there's concerns about this in some future legislative session, people want to have an argument about diminishing and decreasing the practice of advanced practice nurses. But the bill today in front of you is about removing barriers, not increasing them.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I definitely appreciate what you have shared here, Senator Sharon, because I agree with your comments. What I would like to add to it, though, is that how important it is to increase access. And this amendment limits, restricts, and has the potential to take away care that is currently being given and is very, very important. And so I don't support the A15 amendment. I think the additional piece of information, though, is that as if they are unregulated or lack any of that, every single situation that we've talked about in hospitals, the clinics, the surgical centers, they are highly regulated. They take risks in regards to appropriating and appropriately determining credentials and scope of practice specifically for each provider that is doing business in their building. So it's talked about here of just their graduation. Graduation gets you to where you can fill out a form and apply to do your scope of practice in the specific setting. So those regulations, those credentials are a wraparound that are very, very important. And matter of fact, those credentials and privileges are often supervised by medical doctors. And they are the ones that help set those scope, help set those settings, and are very real and very important part of our public safety. And on top of that, when there are problems or issues, you do have the Board of Nursing that is able to deal with those complaints. And in this particular area, I hear about other states or Wisconsin or something, that's rather offensive to the people here in Minnesota who work very hard. And we brag about them all the time. Well, you can't brag about them and then knock them down with the other hand and use Wisconsin to do it. That's hardly fair. Here in Minnesota, we do have a very high standard, and they are appropriately done. And there is room for both, and there is a need for both. This old methodology of where you exclude is old, as Senator Sharon said, and that there is room for that. But this particular area of holding on to an approach where we take the current situation, there is no great harm that's out there that if we don't do this A15, that is going to happen. But there is potential harm by passing this amendment and pain and suffering that can come from that. So I think that lacks proof of any issues. I think this has potential for harm. There are other areas of regulation credentials, and much less the educational background of CRNAs as well. I think it's interesting that they go through their broad training as an RN, but they spend 3 years for a master's degree, and it's also increasingly being common. There are more programs for PhD just in anesthesia alone, which includes a whole variety of pain management. Anesthesia itself, the very word of it, is pain management. And so it's a broad area, and the tools that are used are also changing. I don't think we in the legislature should start dictating which tools a practitioner is allowed to use when it's in the best interest of the patient to give them all the tools at their disposal. So those are my there are other comments I could make, Mr. Chair, but in interest of time, I'll defer to any other testifiers. Thank you.
Senator Benson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And it seems that there are CRNAs, there's some question if they're practicing outside their scope of practice. However, no one has gone to the Board of Nursing and challenged that practice. So if that accusation is out there, we haven't seen anyone bring it forward formally. And unfortunately, that becomes the standard then. And if nobody ever draws a line, the standard becomes we'll just keep moving and we'll just keep expanding until somebody stops us. And that is just reality. I think something that I haven't heard brought up in committee yet is the fact that the Board of Nursing is here advocating for this expansion. The State Board of Accountancy calls balls and strikes. The Bar Association calls balls and strikes. And it concerns me a little bit that the board is here advocating for expansion while at the same time supposed to be holding people accountable when they do go beyond scope of practice. And so while this bill is not ready, there are some really bad things in it. I will support the Franzen Amendment because there needs to be a signal that everything is not okay. And in all likelihood, the Rosen Amendment will come forward as well. But I am just very frustrated that now it appears the doctors feel they have to put in boundaries because nobody has brought forward scope of practice issues before. We're expanding whether we are permissive in our language or not. It appears there have been some boundary violations on scope of practice. And so, again, I don't think this bill is ready to move forward as it is. And I just wanted to be clear, the Board of Nursing is advocating for a movement.
Senator Laurie, I would just like to be clear that
Senator
Shirley Brecken, who's here with the Board of Nursing, was asked to be here. Not, she wasn't advocating for the bill. She was speaking to the components of this bill that asked that an advisory committee be established to the Board of Nursing. And that's what she was here, and that was what she was speaking to, not to the overall advancement of the bill itself.
And Mr. Chair.
Senator Franzen.
Oh, excuse
and then
me.
Thank
Rosen.
You, Mr. Chair. You know, I understand that there are different trainings on the nurse side versus the physician side, but we can't, frankly, say that they're the same. We can't. And to say that we are that the same training will allow them to do the same, the different training will allow them to do the same procedures, like saying just because I know how to use a scalpel, I can perform brain surgery. I think not. I think that we need these guardrails. I have serious concerns about them, and they're different training, plain and simple. They're different. And if we can agree to that, we can agree that this is a good amendment because it establishes and it keeps status quo, by the way. The last paragraph is what's currently happening, what's currently being practiced by CRNAs in terms of the lumbar epidural, some of these treatments that are being, or procedures that are being done, that they're just going to continue to happen under supervision of someone who has advanced training. I don't think that's bad public policy. I think it's imperative of us to actually do something about that. It also, you know, the main question I have here when this debate is who determines scope of practice? Because you're saying that, Senator Sharon, that you're trained for these procedures and you want the you know, nurses to train to the full extent of their training. But who determines the scope? Are you saying that we're going to allow nurses to self-police and doctors to self-police? No, we need to do guardrails. That's what we're here for. And we take, you know, the evidence of, in this case, talking to a lot of doctors in the last week, there's serious consequences, death, paralysis. This is not a simple needle to give anesthesia. They're already doing that. We're talking about other procedures that, in my opinion, require more training, and that is why doctors have to go to specialized training. You know, if you, I like to say my sister's a dentist, but she started after her BA. She did her dental hygienist, and then went on to dental school, finished that, and now she's doing her practice, her specialty. So there's layers and hierarchy, and I think there's a reason for them because you need more training, more time, and more practice. And I don't think this is unreasonable. I think keeping the status quo is really letting some bad actors practice rogue, and I have serious concern about that.
Senator Laurie, I don't think further Senator discussion Sharon. Is going to help on this. You know, there's all sorts of agreement and disagreement, mostly disagreement about whether or not what is included here restricts or expands the current practice of CRNAs. The CRNAs would tell you, if I'm not going to let them come up and testify because I know you're trying to get some control over our time. But I checked with them just again whether or not what is described here restricts their current practice, and their answer is yes. So that's why this is a problem. So I would just encourage, you know, I'd like to hear the vote on this so that we can move on to other issues.
We've got Senator Rosen, then Senator Hayden. Senator Brown was, you know, looking like he's getting revved up, but I'm not sure. Senator Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Sharon. Do we have an expansion of scope of practice
No.
by the CRNAs? I know Senator Benson mentioned that, and I guess I'm a little confused too, because I don't view this as an expansion. I view this as something that's already being done, and especially advocating for areas where they do need pain. I mean,
Senator Sharon.
Well said.
Senator Hayden.
Well, you know, there's a lot been said. I guess the only thing that, I mean, I could go a long ways with this, I guess. Guess what I'm saying is, and I appreciate Senator Franzen's passion on the issue and understanding of what's happening, so it's not being patronizing at all. I guess what I'm saying is that when I talked to the doctor, the idea that if one, I think Senator Benson said it, she kind of said two things at once. I was trying to track it. But the idea that no one has come to the Board of Nursing to formally say this particular CNRA is practicing out of their scope, right? That, so if that's happening, we should figure that out. Secondly, if there is this comprehensive problem, if there is an issue, then I think that the folks that represent Minnesota Medical Association, pain interventionists, et cetera, should bring a piece of legislation so that we can have a thorough discussion about this in its proper form and context in our policy committee and then on, as opposed to having a very, this is essentially almost, especially listening to Senator Franson and her concerns that, you know, I'm sure they are her concerns and that's what she's hearing from her constituents and other professionals, then this needs to be a priority of someone to bring forward as a bill so that we can walk it through its process of not only going through the committees, but all the things that happen in between that and all the visits that we would get. And so I just think that, you know, in anticipation of Senator Rosen's amendment and the others, that I think we do have peace in the valley, which, you know, I hope we don't talk ourselves out of that. I would not support this today, but would tell to say to Senator Franzen, if there is that concern and the community is that concerned with what might happen, then we should actually bring this as a piece of policy and move that forward so that we can all kind of ask those questions in the context that we normally would do.
Senator Brown, did you wish to?
Well, Mr. Chair, I just want to say I can't think of a piece of legislation that I've been so conflicted and vacillating back and forth on how I'm going to vote. And I just want to say how I vote isn't going to be based on firm conviction. It's going to be based on I have to go with the side of caution on this because I don't know. And I've never heard so much testimony where such divergence in what people are saying. And I don't know how to vote, so I'm going to vote on the side of caution.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And then the clerk will take the roll.
Okay, thank you. I think the side of caution is to not make change, to not do this, because to take this step, if you're in that situation, you're making a very drastic step, and that has some consequences. One of the things, too, is I hear sometimes the concerns or the accusations. I have heard not a single documented instance to justify that, other than from Wisconsin. We're doing Minnesota legislation. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Senator Claussen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am going to echo Senator Brown's comments a few minutes ago. It seems like the issue is really defining what is the scope of practice. Seems like that is what we're being asked to do here. And I don't feel quite qualified to do that. It would be nice if we had a committee, someone that could work on this, come back to us and really say, okay, this is what the scope of practice is all about. I'm kind of amazed that we're actually having this kind of discussion, that someone hasn't done this previously in the medical profession or somewhere to really define, okay, what is the scope of practice, rather than the 13 of us or whatever sitting here trying to make that decision, which I don't really feel qualified to do. So I am as perplexed as Senator Brown.
Really?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosen.
I probably should have moved my A25 amendment first, because I want to tell you what's going on out in greater Minnesota. Senator, you can attest to that. Quite a few of you around here can attest to that, Senator Lori. You know that, Senator Sharon. If it was not for the CRNAs, we would, and this is what's happening with our medical industry. They are trying to push us to these larger populations. So we have nothing in these smaller communities for pain management, for even a general practice physician. They want us to all go to our big hubs, whether they're St. Cloud, they're Rochester, they're Grand Forks, Mankato. And if it wasn't for the CRNAs down there, we would have nothing. So, you know, this talk about, I wrote down a few messages that I heard from the testimony today. Maintain relationships with parameters. Have a teamwork, but you have to have these, it's got to be collaborative, but only within my own boundaries. And that's kind of what I'm hearing, is that they want to be able to, it's all good talk to have all this pain management out there, but only on their terms. I'm having a hard time explaining how frustrating this. I see our medical delivery system shrinking in greater Minnesota to these larger areas. And by passing this amendment, that's exactly what's going to happen. You're going to see nothing for us out in these little communities that have good care, that have been proud of their good care, and now all of a sudden we have to have, you know, these restrictions that they're not going to do many of these procedures anyway. So we are trying to fix a problem that really hasn't been a problem. It's been working very well, the CRNAs, especially where I come from. And I still maintain this map. 60 miles is a long way to go when you're in pain. And I still say, when you're in pain, that is an emergency. That's a problem. So we are trying to fix something that really hasn't... this is a little of a turf war here, and let's call it a spade a spade. It's a turf war. So okay. I take a little bit of offense about somebody saying that this is, Senator Franzen, that this is not an issue and that there's not a problem out in greater Minnesota. Trust me, this is a problem out in greater Minnesota, because if we don't have the care out there, we are going to see our little communities shrink and shrink more than what they are right now. You lose your school, you lose your library, you lose your post office, they're shrinking those. You lose care to good medical facilities, you have nothing out there. And if somebody wants to dispute that, then I would welcome a trip out to my district, Senator Eakin's district, to wherever you want to go, Senator Lori's district. It's pretty amazing.
The clerk will take the roll on the A15 amendment.
Senator Lori.
No.
Senator Benson. Senator Brown.
Yes. Yes.
Senator Carlson.
No.
Senator Clausen.
Yes.
Senator Eakin.
No.
Senator Franzen.
Yes.
Senator Hayden.
No.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
No.
Senator Rosen.
No.
Senator Sharon.
No.
There being 3 votes in favor and 7 votes in opposition, the motion does not prevail. Any further amendments?
Mr. Chair, I have the A25.
Senator Rosen moves the A25 amendment.
And Mr. Chair, this is for the CRNA's interventional pain management only.
Senator Rosen, on the amendment, do you want to describe it for us?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I do appreciate the conversation around the table, even though I've adamantly disagreed with some of the comments. And I think as we talked about, this is the status quo amendment. This thing needs a lot more work, whether you make any more movement. But apparently there are issues that probably need to be vetted through better. So we're just basically saying what they're doing is they can continue to do. And as we discussed, if there are problems, it would have been heard at the Board of Nursing. It will continue to be heard at the Board of Nursing, and there would be disciplinary actions going forward. So it just works for the CRNAs.
So this really puts CRNAs specifically, of the four APRN categories. This puts CRNAs back under the collaborative management.
Correct.
The way it has been. It
has been in the past, right, for further discussion.
Currently and is currently.
So, Mr. Chair.
Senator Franzen.
Thank you. I just want to clarify. So keeps the status quo. So a CRNA can have a collaborative agreement with a dentist and be able to get pain management through a dentist referral and through a podiatrist? Because I don't know if that's, I'm not sure if that's status quo. Is it status quo? Okay. Well, and I think that's what I have issue with, so I don't think I can support that amendment.
Senator Rosen?
And Mr. Chair, again, this is for pain management, and this is what is happening right now. I think the conversations will continue, but obviously we...
no one's referring anybody. This is a problem.
I believe the rest of the bill, there is another amendment coming forward. But
Senator
for this,
Rory, may I ask Senator Sharon. Rosen, is it clear that this is in the language here, that this is specifically for pain management?
This is actually making the changes, Senator Sharon, as I am trying to engross it myself within the pain intervention therapies section. It's not quite what I had heard was going to be happening, which was to put CRNAs in their entire practice under collaborative practice the way, unless I'm misreading it somehow.
Ms. Kavanaugh.
Maybe Ms. Kavanaugh
also
could.
From Ms. Kavanaugh.
Mr. Chair and members, no, it's not their entire practice. It's just the pain management or the pain intervention therapies that would be under the collaborative agreement. That was
okay.
Mr. Chair, does this not go far enough?
Well, you know, I was kind of the I had been told that the amendment that we could expect would take the practice of CRNA and take it off the table. That's the only practice that does the integrated pain management, and that would be left for another day, and that we would have status quo on the one of the four APRN licensed categories, we were going to leave as the status quo, and that's the one of them. So, I mean, you know, we can certainly have a conversation around this amendment, but it isn't quite as I had understood.
Right here.
No, that's okay. Because we
Mr. Chair.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Yeah, I think what's helpful is, in my opinion, is to focus a little more on the language between, on the amendment anyway, 1.8 down to 1.14. But it looks like we have a testifier, so that may help. But it designates the scope of collaboration necessary to manage the care with the same or similar medical problems. So the same hospital, clinic, or healthcare setting as a physician, surgeon, podiatrist. I mean, it's fairly much just like you have today, is in my reading of it.
Senator Kiffmeyer. I had a side conversation for a minute. Who am I supposed to be calling on?
I think the testifier, Mr. Chair, would be preferred.
Okay.
Should
we have a
to.
Testifier. Welcome to the committee. State your name for the record.
thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm John Wilhater. I'm a certified registered nurse anesthetist. I work here in St. Paul. The language that's being proposed here is talking about collaborative management agreements within the setting of pain management, which is the status quo of today. And what that means is that the pain management procedures that are being done in the state of Minnesota by a CRNA are done under referral of a physician or other healthcare professional, such as a physician's assistant, and the treatments are ordered through a nurse anesthetist, and that nurse anesthetist provides the treatment. So there's collaboration with the physician, and that's what this language says. It is the status quo. The rest of the bill, as far as collaboration with CRNAs functioning in the perioperative arena and in obstetrics, that in that practice, collaborative management is being removed because it is a barrier practice. And again, we're talking about access to care for Minnesotans and lowering health care costs.
Could you repeat your name? I'm sorry, we didn't catch that.
My name is John Woolheater.
Senator Clausen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a question for Senator Rosen. When you look at the last two sentences, it talks about providing the services at a hospital, clinic, healthcare setting, et cetera. And we've just been talking about outstate Minnesota. Does this really address your concern about outstate Minnesota when you're really talking about specific areas, which I think you'd find more in populated areas?
Mr. Chair, Senator Clausen, yes, this does address because even in the smaller communities, there are clinics and healthcare settings of, and I believe it fits that definition.
So,
thank you.
Maybe I can just express my concern whether there may still be issues around this and my misunderstanding what I was going to be seeing. One of the core issues we couldn't get around the other. Approach, which was the nurse, the APRNs offering a list of things that they wouldn't do, and the docs offering, you know, scope of practice, medical practice, trying to find some. I mean, it's all about the definition of what interventional pain management is, and this seems to still call this into question. And I'm not sure that we're going to get to an agreement about what interventional pain management is. This seems to be saying it's status quo, inserting into a definition of pain intervention therapies that I'm not sure that I have the comfort level that we've gotten that defined properly. I mean, I had been much more comfortable saying on the CRNA, they're the only one that does this, whatever it is. But the whole reason we couldn't get to an agreement on the last approach was because we couldn't define what interventional pain management it is. The docs had one version of it. The nurses had another. We're not scientists. We're really struggling with this. And I think this proposal doesn't really get us to a place where we've taken the steps to provide the comfort.
So, Mr. Chair, I mean, and that's why we should go ahead and adopt this A25 so we can continue to work on that if we need to. And I guess I would like to hear from Senator Sharon about her, and perhaps she has other ideas on this amendment.
Senator Sharon.
I'm sorry that people are getting confused. This specifically speaks to interventional pain management. That's what this is about. It's addressing that part of the issue that has been in conflict here. It does not change for the CRNA who does perioperative care, other kinds of pain management. So this is the interventional pain management that has been the source of disagreement and conflict and restores the language that currently guides the practice of CRNAs who do this kind of pain management, which requires extraordinary education beyond the basic master's level preparation for CRNA. Perhaps you'd like to add to that.
Mr. Chair and committee members.
Mr. Wolfinger.
Thank you. Understanding that CRNAs have been doing interventional pain management procedures for as long as they've been around is something to make very clear here. Furthermore, CRNAs have been doing interventional pain procedures in the state of Minnesota for 30 years. And if there was a track record of paralysis and brain death and patients dying, the Board of Nursing undoubtedly would have heard those concerns and then would have addressed those concerns as the governing body of nursing. The federal government did decide 10 years ago that they would reimburse CRNAs directly for pain management procedures through Medicare after they did a thorough investigation of the research and the outcomes. And so today CRNAs are reimbursed for pain management procedures and have been for 10 years. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Hayden.
Well, there had been some confusion on if this was the status quo. quo or not? Is there? I just like to see if the medical, if Dave or Mr. Renner or somebody like that can.
Mr. Renner
can just so we can at least be balanced in here. Yep. If this is the status, if they feel like it's the status quo.
Mr. Chair, members, Dave Renner with the Minnesota Medical Association. Thank you for the opportunity. Again, having just seen this, just at the start of session, we had heard as similarly as Senator Rosen was going to be offering amendments to basically, as we understood it, take the CRNA issue off the table in a sense and maintain status quo. Having read, and that concept we had not taken a position on, and I wouldn't, that may be a concept that would be acceptable to us. I don't know. I would argue, though, this language is not status quo. This language does put in the concept of interventional pain and then creates a new collaborative management requirement under that, as opposed to the current law, which says CRNAs must practice under collaborative management under what they're defined to do right now. This does raise some concerns, again, about now, and specifically for interventional pain, it does allow this collaborative management now with others, than not just physicians, but podiatrists, dentists, and others. So I think this is significantly different. The other issue, which is not status quo, and again, I don't know if you want to get into this, is status quo also has the written prescribing agreements. That's not included in this as well, if we were, the concept was just to go back to status quo.
So, Mr. Chair?
Senator Hayden.
So what happens if we don't vote for this either? Then what? What is the real status? Where are we at then? I'm somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but pretty serious about if this isn't status quo, and I don't know if Senator Rosen just offered it and appeared to be, but if this isn't status quo, because we're trying to get to status quo, which is what I thought the original agreement was going to be, is to do the others, and then let's continue to have this long conversation again and get to the status quo. So if this isn't status quo, what is the status quo?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosen.
I guess this is about the pain management, and this is a collaborative agreement or management agreement. So, Mr. Renner, I guess if this is different than what was in place, is this a problem with this collaborative agreement?
Mr. Chair, and
to take CRNAs out, I think it would be very problematic to separate that out.
Mr. Chair and Senator Rosen, again, I'm just going on what I was understanding the amendment to be, and that's not what I read this as. So I think this is a significant change because it's specifically talking about new language that's still in the bill about interventional pain medicine or management, and then puts this collaborative management language in that new section. That is not current status quo.
Well, okay.
Senator Rosen.
All right, so Mr. Renner, can we get past the status quo? So obviously we've had a problem with the status quo. Everybody had an impression of what this amendment was going to be about. But can we go back to, is this amendment at least something that we can move off of and springboard and can maybe perhaps continue conversations on going forward? If this is not what you expected, can we at least work off of this amendment?
Mr. Chair and Senator Rosen, at this point, if you're asking, can we support this amendment? No, we cannot support this amendment.
And Mr. Chair, and the reason why?
Senator Rosen.
Because we, Mr. Chair and Senator, we believe this is a significant change, and we do believe that it does, as Senator Lori was, I believe, trying to articulate, still does not answer the question of what is interventional pain, using Senator Franzen's language, what guardrails are there, what's the scope of practice of nursing? What's the scope of practice of medicine? Those issues still remain.
Mr. Chair, this is the very essence of this problem. Why do we have to have guardrails when they obviously have been doing this for over 30 years, and there hasn't been a problem that has been brought forward to the Board of Nursing? So, if this is a change, I mean, this is all about compromise, Mr. Renner. And to everybody else in this room, this is about compromise. So either, I mean, we're trying to work this through. The House has nothing on this. The House has a bill that is nothing. So we are trying to get something with a compromise. To me, I still, if it's not what you expected, I still don't understand why it is not something that we can at least work off of.
Mr. Chair and Senator Rosen, we acknowledge we get the idea of compromise, and I would argue that a lot in this bill has already been compromised. I know Senator Sharon has an upcoming amendment that I think we have reached agreement on. As you all are well aware, this is the issue that has been the most difficult. And I believe that the language before you in Senator Rosen's amendment still does not address those issues and still causes more problems. If the concept is to go back to where we are now, then we think this amendment does not do that.
Senator Claussen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question. Do we have any additional amendments following this?
Well, we have the A27 amendment that is the other three, the easy issues. And I think that one should hopefully go quite a bit better. But I don't know of any others, but members are free to offer others.
Could we have a quick summary then? If this passes, what are the ramifications? If it doesn't pass, what are the ramifications, and does it make a difference?
Well, I think that this does, as Senator Rosen described, although I'm told I'm starting to not make any sense anymore, so maybe I should let somebody else describe it. But this does, I think, move a little bit by adding a collaborative management agreement under what is in the bill in terms of pain intervention therapies, a definition of it. So it is movement. It's not what I thought it was, which was setting aside of the CRNA issue in its entirety. I believe that's what Mr. Renner thought we were to be expecting. I think it is. It would be hard to classify it as not movement. It is movement towards more collaborative around this one issue that has been of particular trouble.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Franzen.
Not to muddle the waters even further, Mr. Chair, but is there a way to reinstate some additional language to Senator Rosen's to make it a little bit in a better shape, I guess, to more towards the intent of what we thought we were going to get? And I'm just being pointed to, I think it's 84.11 to 84.12.
Chairman.
Mr. Renner.
I don't know if I should weigh in or not. I believe, to Senator Franzen's point, if your goal is to try to go back to status quo, I think what you would probably want to do is delete Section 13 from the bill, which would reinstate the current laws under the definition of advanced registered nurse anesthetist practice, which would keep in the within the collaborative management language there and limit current law to what they can do. It may solve other problems, but that would be the closest to
that's what I meant.
Status quo.
Ms. Cavanaugh, is that, are you able to confirm that that would be correct, or would you need time?
And Mr. Chair and members, in the A27, you're redefining what a collaborative management is. So that's not going to make much sense if you're there. You're not going to get back to what?
Except for Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Renner.
My understanding in the A27, we defined collaborative management only for nurse practitioners and clinical nurse specialists, not CRNAs.
Yeah.
And it, does it go into a different section of law, too? It's a different collaborative? No, it's in the same.
Senator Laurie, may I suggest that we step away from this for now? Let's lay this amendment on the table. Let the people work through the language to try to get it where it would be comfortable. And we go ahead with the other three
Senator Rosen, are you willing
conflicts
to remove, to withdraw the A25 amendment?
Absolutely, Mr. Chair. I withdraw the
Senator Rosen withdraws the A25 amendment.
Thank you. Then I will introduce the
A27.
Thank you. A27
Senator Sharon
amendment
moves the A27 amendment.
Thank you, Senator Laurie. This this amendment is the result of Senator Laurie's request that we have some meeting from this morning before this afternoon's meeting, try to come to some agreement on amendments that were being presented. And so what this amendment does, the A27 amendment,
is three things. It establishes a definition of a collaborative management that is utilized specifically for nurse practitioners or clinical nurse specialists only. Of the four, this provision relates specifically to nurse practitioners and clinical nurse specialists who qualify for licensure. And it defines, after defining collaborative management, which is a mutually agreed upon plan for the overall working relationship as an advanced practice registered nurse and one or more physician or surgeons under Chapter 147 or one or more advanced practice registered nurses under Section 148.2Y21. So what this means is that we're defining collaborative management agreement for those two scopes of practice areas as being a working relationship about the work that that new licensee does with an advanced practice nurse or a physician. Then further down, I'm sorry I have to jump over the middle portion because it relates to a different subject, but then under D on line 132, the language there refers again to this collaborative management agreement and to the new graduate of who is eligible for licensure, that nurse practitioner or clinical specialist who qualifies for licensure as an advanced practice registered nurse must, for at least 2,000 hours within the context of a collaborative management agreement, and be employed by a hospital or an integrated clinical setting. This is drawing language from Senator Franzen's bill, where advanced practice registered nurses and physicians work together to provide care. So it means that we've accepted the language that there will be a continuing clinical, so to speak, in a hospital or an integrated clinical setting, and that they have to develop this work plan about how their scope of practice will be within that integrated setting, and that agreement has to be with a person who is employed in that setting that's either an advanced practice nurse or a physician. So that's one of the elements of this amendment. The second element is the language that would have been in another amendment of Senator Franzen's that restricts the practice interpreting computed tomography scans, magnetic resonance imaging scans, positron emission tomography scans, nuclear scan, and mammography. Mammography was in particular added to the language of Senator Franzen's bill at the request of the physicians that I met with. So this is the interpretive, restricting interpretation of various studies and specifically names what those studies are. Okay, so that's the second. The third is the advisory committee that the physicians wanted to be established because they would like more advanced practice nurse involvement in the Board of Nursing process. What this does is establish the Advanced Practice Nursing Advisory Committee. It identifies its membership as advanced practice nurses for advanced practice nurses that represent the various scopes, two Minnesota licensed physicians who work with advanced practice nurses, a public member. It defines how often they meet, and we took these language from my advisory committee and then added three components from the physician's recommendations for what the duties of this advisory committee would be. And that is the essence of this bill, of this amendment.
Any questions on the A27 amendment?
Senator Benson. Up on the first part, page 81, line 6, after studies, that's where it clearly identifies
the high-tech scans
that cannot be interpreted by advanced practice nurses.
Senator Benson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I might have missed 2.3, the date changes. It'll be the easiest question of the night.
Senator Sharon, the dates being changed? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Would you mind answering that question,
Mr. Chair? In your amendment, the dates are all brought up 1 year, so it becomes effective in 2015, and they bring it up one more year.
And we took this language from my other amendment, right. From my amendment that I'd offered that I withdrew. And we just were working off of that amendment when we redesigned this. So this is the same dates as that amendment.
Right. But Mr. Chair and Ms. Kavanaugh, I was just wondering if we had it delayed in the original language for some purpose and now that purpose has gone away, or if we're just moving it up.
Mr. Chair, Senator Benson, Kavanaugh. I can't answer that. I don't know.
Yeah. Senator Sharon?
An unnecessary delay. This is achievable. Originally, especially as it relates to some of these abilities for the Board of Nursing to make the adjustments they need in order to carry out their role in relationship to this, they thought they would need more time, but they advised us that this would work. And I just want to remind everybody that's what Shirley Brecken was doing here, was taking a look at their responsibilities in relationship to this and their ability to implement it, along with the impact of the advisory board.
Now, I know we sent Dave Renner out in the hall to negotiate, but is there anyone else able to express MMA's position? Mr. Grindle, welcome back to the
Ted
committee.
Ted Grindle, representing Minnesota Society of Anesthesiology and Radiological Society, and I was part of the meeting, a productive conversation also with Senator Kiffmeyer and Senator Sharon in working through these issues, and I would say that for these, you could say there's peace in the valley.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Any further questions on the A27 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Sharon's motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.